So now, if you would open your Bibles at John chapter 1, and we want to just look this morning at the first two verses, just touching on verse 3 of John's Gospel. I know that we're supposed to be content with what we've got. We're supposed to be content with our lot in life, and God likes contentment. But aren't there some houses you would just love to live in that you wish they were your own? On the odd occasion when I cycle into Edinburgh and come off the main road, you go through a path and it takes you through Barton Avenue. And Barton Avenue, there's houses there that have, you know, electric gates that you can peer over and you can just see, wow, these houses, these people, how can they live in houses just looking as great as that? And I'm not allowed in. We've been to holiday in Portugal twice, and both times we've been there, we've ended up outside this same house, this show house, I think it is, in the estate, that is just absolutely, well, I would call it opulent. You know, I know some of you might be able to afford it, but I know that, certainly being Free Church minister in Dunfermline, I'm not going to get a house with so much glass and a heated swimming pool and a fitted kitchen outside, especially not a brand new one. And both times we've turned up at this show house, it's been locked, so we couldn't get in, but we could peer in the windows, and we did that because we're that sort of people. But if we were there, I wonder would they let me in? Oh, why am I talking about houses that we might not be allowed into, and what relation has that got to do with this idea of getting to know who Jesus is from John's Gospel? I think it's, for some of us, it's just about the same. We're sort of like, if we take this, well, red line's better. This red line, we come to the Gospel of John, we come to news about Jesus, and we read something like, in the beginning was the Word, and the Word was God, and the Word was with God, he was with God. You sort of think, that's not for me. I am never going to get my head round this. I can't enter in. And so you've sort of got this idea with the whole of John's Gospel that you can't get inside, that it's not for you, it's not a truth for you. But what I want to say to us today is that I could get into one of these houses. I could get into the posh house. I could be given a posh house by someone else. It's not going to be something that I'm ever really going to aspire to all on my own or anything like that. But if somebody gifted it to me, I could get in and say it's mine. And the whole story of the good news of Jesus Christ, the gospel of Jesus Christ, is that what John is telling us and what he's going to go on and tell us is that this is God's gift to us. And we don't have to stand outside and say, I can't come in, but this is him telling us how we can go in. So it says if in these first verses of John's gospel, we just open the door a little, or we see the sign on the outside of the house saying whose house it is or something like that. And what we discover is that it is all about God. And that's what John is telling us. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. He was with God in the beginning. Can you get your head around all that? Well, what is John telling us in this first part of what we call the prologue to John's Gospel? So verse 1 to 18, Greg will take us through to verse 18 next Sunday, hopefully. But this is called the prologue, the first bit. And what does it tell us? It tells us, first of all, that Jesus was eternal. Now, looking at verse 1 and 2, how do you know it's about Jesus? Well, the only sort of hint you get it's about a person was he in verse 2. And then as he opens up the text, we find out that the he that he's talking about is actually Jesus Christ, the Son of God who came, whose glory we've seen, and all of these things. But what's John doing? He's telling us he's eternal, and he's doing it by repeating something. Now, if I said to you, this is going to impress you because I studied Hebrew for 7 years and this is about the only word I can remember, Bereshit, okay? If you were a Jew, you would know exactly what I was saying because it's the first word in the Bible. It's the beginning. And John's writing and saying the same thing to people, the beginning. He's bringing their mind to exactly the same beginning. He's saying what was said in Genesis chapter 1, in the beginning. And he's repeating it there. And he's speaking about not another beginning. He's not speaking about thousands of years later when the baby was born in Bethlehem. He's not speaking about the start of the New Testament. He's not speaking about any other beginning other than this exact same beginning that Genesis refers to. And what he's saying is that when the beginning was, Jesus was there. In the beginning was the Word. So the Word, who we know as Jesus, John is referring us to Jesus, he is telling us Jesus was not created when the world was created. Jesus did not become a thing when he was sent to the world. In the beginning was the Word. So he's telling us that Jesus was there all along, that Jesus is part of the eternal Godhead. And you might say, well, did Jesus believe this about himself? In John chapter 17 and verse 5, when Jesus is praying, a really lovely prayer that we're going to come to, he asks God to give him the glory that he had with him before the world began. Jesus is saying, take me back to what we had before. Jesus claims to be the eternal God there. And so when we speak about Jesus, we're not permitted to say when Jesus was created. We're not allowed to say that there was a time when Jesus was not. We can say there was a time when Jesus became a man. We can say there was a time when Jesus was born. But we're not allowed to say he never was. He always was. He always was part of the Godhead. Now, here's a word that's not in the Bible that you'll probably have heard if you've been in church, but it's the word Trinity. And that is the idea that we see here, that God is one God, but three persons. He is a triune God. He is one God and three persons. And we'll come to that a little bit more later. But what we are saying is that God has always been that. He is eternally God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Spirit. Always was one God and three persons. And that is what John is saying. Now, I said in the introduction that John is speaking to Jews, but I also told you he's a really bright guy. So when he starts to speak about the Word, the Jews get this. The Jews know that Psalm 33 verse 6 says that the heavens were created by the Word of God, that they understand that. So he's telling them that in the beginning was the Word. His ideas all flow into one another. He's introducing this idea of Creator in the very first line by saying, in the beginning, God created, in the beginning, the Word. He is a genius of a writer. But he's also saying to the Greeks, who had this strange idea called logos, and they didn't quite know what it was. It was like a force in nature. It was something that they would discuss. So the Greeks were people who discussed and who tried to, present ideas. And one of them was logos, that they hadn't quite sort of settled on what it was or what it did. And John comes in the beginning was the logos or the Word. And he's saying to both his audiences, Jesus was the eternal Son of God. Jesus is the eternal Son of God, always and eternally. The second thing he says in his statement is, in the beginning was the Word, and then he says the Word was with God. The Word was with God. So he's opening up this, some people would say can of worms, but he's not doing that. He's making it very clear for you and for I to understand that Jesus is God and Jesus was with God. That the Son, Jesus the Son, is distinct or different from Jesus the Father, or from God the Father, sorry. Jesus is different from God the Father. Well, how can that work? How can he be both different and the same? Well, I want it to blow your mind that Jesus can be God and God the Father can be God and God the Holy Spirit can be God and that they can be one God. Because if it doesn't blow your mind, then explain it to me yourself. But when I go to a family wedding or when I go to a funeral, not taking it or anything, there might be an usher on the door. And the usher on the door would look at you and say, You know, because you don't just march in and sit in the seat. You're hesitant. They say, are you family? Yes, I'm family. So what happens when your family is you go and you sit in the seats at the front that are reserved for family. And when you're family, you are family as it is, but you're also with the family. You are family and you are with the family. In the beginning, Jesus was there, but he was there with God as God. Now, any illustration we make of the Trinity comes to an end and fails because it is a human concept that we are trying to make this thing match what God is. But what John is telling us quite clearly is that in the beginning, the Word eternally was. God was there. Jesus was there. And Jesus was with God. And he tells us, and here's another wee bit of John's brilliance. He doesn't just say he was with God. He starts introducing this idea of just the unity that there was in the Godhead when the word with could really be translated towards. Now, if some of you came to church today, you came with your family, with someone else. You sort of didn't come toward someone else. It's a different word. But maybe there was one or two of you, and I saw one or two children hanging on to their parents sort of thing, that there was a closeness there that would have been completely inappropriate if I went to that person in the same way. Yes, there was even a child being carried. So if I was with you in the way that your child was with me, it would be inappropriate. You get it, yeah? You're not going to carry me. Don't try. But Jesus, in his being towards God, that there's an intimacy. This John is just hinting at, and that we'll see all the way through the gospel, is that God the Father really, really, really loved God the Son. And God the Son just really loved God the Father and was towards him. There was just wanting to be with him and loved him and had so much fellowship. And John is just bringing that out at the start. This God who was Jesus was completely and utterly devoted to the Father. But then he says, this word, we've learned that Jesus was eternal, the word was eternal. We've learned that he was towards, or he is different from God, that he was his own person. But then he says what we can't disagree with, and the word was God. The word was God. So, John, have you confused us? He's certainly blowing our minds. And he's trying to blow our minds. He's trying to make us believe something which is not something unbelievable. It's something that we have not come across before. And if we change this slightly, which lots of people do, if we take "and the word was God" and we change it by adding "a," we open up the biggest mess that Christianity has seen. And that's what people do. But there is no "a" in there. The word was God. And lots of people, you will see them outside railway stations trying to give you magazines called, I can't remember what it's called, The Watchtower. I hope you're not reading it. You never told us that. The Watchtower, okay. The Watchtower, and the Mormons do something similar. They like to tell us any theology, anything that calls itself Christian, that takes the first part of this verse and says, yeah, this is true, but then adds "a" into it and says that he was a God, they are saying that Jesus is not equal with the Father. Or that if he is now equal with the Father, he was not always equal with the Father. And John isn't letting us do that. And the difference that it makes is that if Jesus was not eternally God, then it makes him out to be a liar. If Jesus was not eternally God, then it makes the whole of John's gospel out to be a lie. In the beginning was the Word. Because you just have to start asking things like when and all of these things. But what John is telling us is that he was with God in the beginning. God was with God in the beginning. Jesus was with God in the beginning. He's blowing our minds by saying, Jesus is God. Jesus was God. and he was with God. Does that stretch your knowledge? Is it an idea you could have come up with yourself? No. Is it something that we can prove? Well, I don't think we really can prove it too easily. And these things are not written to prove to you that Jesus was always God, but these things are written so that you might believe that Jesus was the Son of God. So we've got these three things, and just without stealing Greg's thunder, because he'll have his own thunder next week, we go into verse 3. Through him all things were made, without him nothing was made that has been made. What's John doing here? How did God create the heavens and the earth? God took and he made. That's not how God created the heavens and the earth, Genesis tells us. God spoke. God said, let there be, and there was. And so when we read that he was the creator, we see that John is connecting him with all of the creation story, that it's the same story, and so that we can come to it knowing that this is the same God that we're to look at. It's the same God. So, start of the story, I've brought you back to Genesis. Yes? You've come back to Genesis. Where are we going to go from here? We're going to go and find Jesus turning water into wine. That looks a little bit like a creator. And we're going to go into lots of miracles where Jesus does things that creator does. We're going to see God coming through the life of Jesus Christ, shining through the life of Jesus. We're going to see that Jesus is God. So now you know these things. What difference is it going to make? What are we going to do? And I'm thinking just of your lives, and try to think of different people in the congregation. Maybe there'll be births in 2019. Hopefully no deaths, but maybe there'll be deaths in 2019. Some children will go to high school, some will go to school, some will leave school. We already know of jobs that are on the line in 2019. And, you know, it's sort of like a bit panicky. Where are we? What are we doing? Is it going to be okay? Yeah. Brexit's even going to be okay. I'm confident of this, that if it happens or doesn't happen, everything's going to be okay-ish. Why? Because the center of the story is not me. The point of the story is not me, but in the beginning was God. In the beginning was the Word. And what John's telling us is in this story how God came to save people like me, how my own creator, the one who made the universe, without him nothing was made that has been made. That includes humanity, that the one who made humans became human so that I might have eternal life. And so in the mess that you are facing or that you're uncertain about as you look ahead, be confident that the big story is the one that you can believe in, and that everything else is a side issue. It's not the most important thing. Your money, what you study, where you go, who you'll be with, all of these things, so long as we have our faith in the Lord Jesus Christ. And so a big question for anybody is, do you really understand who he is? Do you understand that Jesus is the Son of God and that by believing in him you might have life? And you might say, well, I haven't been sure. Well, these things are written so that you might have life, so that you might believe, and that by believing you might have life. And so if today we've just opened up this idea to you that Jesus is God, Jesus is God who can create, and so surely if he can create, he can be the God who saves, and you've just opened the door of the house and you're trying to enter in, you're at a great starting point. You're at a wonderful starting point if you know who Jesus is. If you know that Jesus is God, then you should live your life just ready to respond to that. And if you don't know who Jesus is, you can't get in to enjoy all the joy of being in God's family. But when you know that Jesus is the Christ, you have to live your life for him. And so there's a danger as we start looking at a gospel. And that is that we see it as a story where we learn about Jesus, where we learn what he was like. But why do you think John introduces Jesus to us as the Word who was always there, as the eternal God? What are you and I supposed to do with the eternal God? Are we supposed to learn about him so that we know about him? No, I think it's the danger of the whole just looking at the story of Jesus without always remembering who he is. I am supposed to actually worship him. I am supposed to worship him. I am supposed to just submit my life and to give it to him and to always, always be in awe and praise of this Jesus Christ. And what John is telling us is, you know, we think of Jesus coming and we'll see what Jesus does and we'll go, wow, Jesus did that. But John is saying, look back to the very beginning and go, wow, this is God. This is God who is Father and God who is now revealing himself as Son. God the Father who sends God the Son. And we'll learn lots about the Holy Spirit too, but we are to worship God. And so what will you take away from this week? Well, if you do open the pages of John's Gospel, don't just read it as a story, but learn to praise and worship Jesus. To say, this is God. This is God come to save us. This is God dying to save me. This is God risen to save me, and worship him. That's why John is telling us the story, so that we might believe and have life, that life that is turned towards him. Let's just read the verses again. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. He was with God in the beginning. Let's pray.